hearts, let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I don't know who this is for, God knows. I really plan to share something else tonight, and the Lord said, no, this is what I want you to give. And so there's at least one person here that really needs this tonight. And, you know, after it's all over, you'll know, because you'll be praising God that you got a personal message from God. Psalm 27 says this. In verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? True Christians are given security. And I know this is a big topic today because everybody thinks that the shooting down in Orlando was caused by bad guns. The media doesn't even have it right. They're saying it's an AR-15. It wasn't, and it was a totally different gun. But you know, the Derringer looks like an AR-15 to most people in the media. So, you know, it's just kind of sad that the attention has been turned on that. That and security. And it seems the world doesn't have a real grasp on what security is or how to get it. Now, you and I know that our security is in the Lord. But listen to this. The Republicans and the Democrats right now are working together to have a bill that would forbid anyone on a terrorist watch list from getting a weapon. Now, here's the only problem. The guys that flew into the towers, were they on the terrorist watch list?
No.
The guy over in San Bernardino, was he on the terrorist watch list? No. The guy at Fort Hood that killed those soldiers, was he on the terrorist watch list?
No.
The guy down in Orlando, was he on the terrorist watch list?
No.
Would this bill provide security for anybody?
No.
But they feel, hey, we're really providing security for the people. No, they're not. And sooner or later, maybe from their position in hell, or if Christians are successful in reaching them and convincing them of their need for Christ from their position in heaven, they will realize that the only true security is in the Lord. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 7, this is a verse you're all familiar with anyway. It says, for God hath not given us, talking about believers, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have that now. This isn't something you grow into. This isn't something you wait for. This is the Spirit of God, and He is not the spirit of fear. So He's able to get us through anything. You know, I brought up several times in the past couple months about the Christians in the Colosseum and the eyewitness writings that say that people were so amazed, the people in the grandstands watching this. Christians were there on the floor of the Colosseum, and the lions were let out. And what are the Christians doing? They're singing, they're praising God, and you would expect that they'd be terrified of what's about to happen. And yet they're not. How is it that a person facing death cannot have fear? Especially that kind of death, because you know how it's going to come. How can they have a lack of fear? It's because of the Holy Spirit that's in them. It's because they recognize they have greater power than the power of the lions. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to eat the lions, but it does mean that they're going to be able to overcome whatever is out there. And they did. I mean, look, as soon as something happened to them, where did they go? They went into heaven. They went into heaven. But wouldn't it be wonderful if those 50 people that were killed down in
Would it be wonderful if at the last minute they called out to God and trusted the Lord as Savior and ended up in heaven?
Yep.
That would be a great thing. But you see, the fear was there. The fear was so intense that they all did something stupid. They had a couple hundred people in that room. This guy comes in with a gun and he starts shooting. Out of that couple hundred people, don't you think that if four or five of them got together and rushed him, that they could have stopped it? What were they doing? They were running in fear. Every one of them was running in fear. There were no exceptions. There wasn't the first story that has come out of this that said that anybody tried to tackle him, that anybody tried to stop him. Fear brings about some terrible results. You know, God gives us the opportunity to be afraid or put our faith in Him. There's a story that back in Judges chapter 7. I'd like for you to turn there if you would. Judges chapter 7. Man by the name of Gideon was called by God to serve him. He was a new believer. And in the area we're about to read, Gideon probably wasn't saved for more than a month or two. And a lot of people say, well, a person that young in the Lord isn't going to be able to do much. But I'll tell you, it isn't you anyway. If anything gets done, it's the Lord in you. And so here's Gideon, a young Christian. God's working through him. I want you to take a look at verse 3. The Lord says to him, "Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Basically, 2/3 of the people ran away. They were afraid. Now, when you look at those figures, that's probably true for a lot of people today. People live in terror. People live in fear. And they constantly take in and digest one thing after another of fear. They're afraid. They're afraid of government, they're afraid of food, they're afraid of driving, they're afraid of toxins everywhere. You know, but this is our world. And while we need to be prudent and remove ourselves from as much dangerous stuff as possible, the reality is, it is impossible to escape everything. I've shared with you before, many people have come to me over the past 10 years and said, "Pastor, we know what's going to happen to America. America's going to be judged. Where can we go?" And, you know, if it was that easy, I would have packed my bags a long time ago. But you see, the problem is, where can you go? If you go to France, you can't protect yourself any more than you can here. In fact, even less. If you go to other countries around the world, and I have read their laws, I have looked at all the things that are there, you would have less freedom than what you have even now in this country. So, where can we run? Where can we run when we're afraid? Bottom line for Christians is it's only one place, and that's the Lord. Now, if the Lord suddenly opens up a place and says, "Hey, there's some South Sea Island that nobody's discovered, and y'all can go there," you know, I'll let you know about it. But as it is now, the Lord hadn't revealed that. And, you know, we're looking at a group of people in Israel who should have trusted the Lord. But one of the reasons why they are slaves to their enemies is because they're afraid. The enemy says, "You do this, we're going to kill you. You do something else, we're going to put you in jail." So, you know, there was a legitimate fear, if you want to call it legitimate,
in two-thirds of those people, 10,000 were left. And the Lord said unto Gideon, verse 4, people are yet too many. Bring them down under the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I shall say unto thee, these shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lacketh the water with his tongue, as a dog lacketh, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of people that lacked, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Now, if you can picture this, these people, the majority of them, just went down to the water and stuck their head in the water and drank. But there were so few, it was easy to pick them out. They reached down into the water with their hands and cupped it and brought it up to their mouth. Why? Because they could still look around. They could still observe. Whereas a person who's lapping down into the water, their eyes are headed toward the water. They can't see what's going on. So they weren't as attentive. So God picked out of that group 300. And then in verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lacked will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. There's a fear factor, and people are given an opportunity. Israelites are given an opportunity. Other nations given an opportunity. America is given an opportunity. We can live our lives in fear, or we can trust God. And it's a very simple choice. It's not complicated like the elections. It's a very, very simple choice. Live in fear, or live in the peace of God by trusting Him. And I think that's where Christians are going to be able to make a decision that will help them to be the kind of lights in this world that we need to be. That this will allow us to have the right focus. You know, you can't have the right focus if you don't have peace. If you're constantly on edge and all excited about things and all depressed about things and fear is hitting you from every side, it's hard to get focused on what God wants you to do. On the other hand, and God will allow you the privilege of serving Him more. Now, true believers can choose fear. And there are some people that live in fear every day. You know, the friends of Job, when they came to him, they all had accusations. They all said things against him. Job, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. All those things were lies. The one thing that Job did that was wrong, he admits it. He says what it is. And it's over in Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Says, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. Here he's talking about being so upset. And here's a visual some of you can relate to. Some of you sometimes get so upset and nerves get so bad that your intestines are roaring. You don't have any peace, you can't go to sleep. And this is what Job said he had every day. This is something that was continuous. And that here's the sin he mentions. Verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Can emotional distress have a great impact on you physically?
Yes.
Yeah. And not only intestines, but you know, your stomach can ache, it can cause headaches, a lot of things. And here's where Job admits that his problem was fear. He was afraid of what might happen to his children. He was afraid of what might happen to his business. He was afraid of what might happen to his house. All the things that he was afraid of were knocked down and destroyed. And that's why he says, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. That was Job's downfall. Was Job a happy man? No. Sadly, he wasn't. He was victorious, but he could have been so much happier. Because he could have said, you know, I have my children, and I love them. They don't live with me now, but they're off somewhere. I'm going to go and encourage them, but I'm not going to fear every day for something that they're not even concerned about. I'm going to pray for them, but I'm not going to be in fear. And so far as his business, anybody who gets into business knows that there's up and downs. There are some of these seminars try to brainwash people into thinking that if you give these people $5,000, that you're going to have a foolproof business. There is no such thing. Business is sold every day. That there are people who are sold a bill of goods, and they're so disappointed because they really believed that every day that business was going to succeed. Job was just the opposite. He was afraid that every day my business is going to fail. I'm going to lose all my money, all that I had. He was afraid every single day. What a life. But some of you know about this. Because you get up in the morning, and while you may not, or you might, have the habit of biting your fingernails, you're doing it in your mind. You're worrying about this, you're worrying about that, you're worrying about something else. You're so afraid that if this doesn't happen, then that won't happen. Such a fear upon you, how can you be a happy, rejoicing, effective Christian when fear plays such a toll in your life? It did for Job. It did for Job. It was rough on him because every day he was afraid of failure. He was afraid of what might possibly happen. And you know, now some of you, you really don't have this problem at all. As a matter of fact, you don't even think about the future much anyway. But for a lot of you, you're worried about something that might happen tomorrow. You worry about something that might happen the next week or the week after that. And it bothers you, and it's constantly on your mind. And this is not what God wants. God wants us to commit every day, one day at a time. He wants us to have his peace. He wants us to go through that day, no matter what is thrown against you. He wants us to go through it with the idea that if we committed things to him, we're going to be victorious. We're going to win. At the end of the day, we'll be able to rejoice in the power of God and his wisdom and what he gave to us. But a person who wakes up and they're already thinking, oh, well, another day closer to this, another day closer to that, and I'm so afraid. You're ruining the day that you're in. You're taking away the joy from it. You're missing the blessing that God wants you to have. Well, I want you to just ask yourself this. And, you know, it's an honest question. It needs to be answered. How much time do you think Jesus would want to spend with somebody who, first of all, didn't commit everything to him, but secondly, was always telling the Lord, I'm just so worried
about this happening. Lord, I'm just so worried about that happening. Lord, I'm just so worried about it. How long do you think the Lord's going to put up with that? How much fellowship do you think the Lord's going to have with somebody who's constantly looking for something to worry about? I've known people down through the years. Matter of fact, we had a precious lady. I have no doubt of her salvation. Came to this church for a number of years. And she would go from one crisis to another, and then finally, everybody looked and said, wow, all these people that she was so worried about, they're all dead now. And you know what she did? She went out and hunted up somebody that she could worry about. She wasn't a happy person. And that's how some people are. Even when there's not something that God says, all right, you're going to have to deal with this. There's not something like that. There are a lot of people who, when that is gone, they're looking for something because they've gotten into a habit of constantly worrying. Over in Psalm 56, verse 3. Psalm 56. But we need to memorize this verse. If you haven't done it already, it's a short verse. If you can memorize it tonight, put it on a note card when you get up in the morning, look at it, post it to the refrigerator, put it on your car dash, whatever. Look at verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Lord, we may not have time for it tonight, but the Lord gives a whole list of things that people can watch out for. And you know, surprisingly, sometimes people aren't even aware of the fear factor in their lives. They don't catch it. They say, well, no, I turned that everything over to the Lord. And then they pull it back with a rope. And they hold on to it. They really haven't gotten rid of the fear. And God wants us to take a look at things and admit, you know, if I'm afraid of this, if I'm afraid of that. I constantly hear people saying, you know, I gotta go to the doctor. I'm afraid of what he's going to say. I'm afraid of what the x-ray is going to say. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. And you know, that steals your steals your joy. Because you know, there's nothing that's going to happen to you on this earth if you're committed to the Lord that doesn't need the Lord's approval, and the Lord will be there to help you through it. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. So why then should we worry? Think back. Some of you have a bunch of years if you think back of how many instances you were worried about this and worried about that and worried about something else. How many times did your worrying and fear solve the problem? Never did. The Lord has something better for us, doesn't he? He wants us to trust him, and he wants us to have his comfort and his strength. Over in Psalm, let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Next verse says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. Is it going to be judgment on her and you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But notice what this says. Neither fear the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Why not? Because God has something better for you and me. God has something better for his children. And he has the power to pull it off. I don't know of a single politician
even the ones that aren't in office, but they're politicians anyway, they all claim solutions. They all claim answers. I don't know if a single one can pull it off. The person who can pull it off for you, the person who can pull it off for me, is Jesus. He can give us that peace instead of fear. Psalm 3, verse 6 says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves about, against me round about. Let me read it again. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You know, if every one of your neighbors turned on you, and they might. If every one of your relatives turned on you, and they might. If all the people that you work with turned against you, and they might. If you're God's child, you're the apple of his eye. You're going to be protected. There's nothing to fear, because whatever you have to face, God is going to see you through. Amen. So let's not forget, like I said at the beginning, I don't know who this is for, but the Lord had me change the message, so I know it's for somebody. And I just want to encourage you tonight to just consider all the miserable people that you meet every day. And a lot of them claim to be Christians. And if you're with them for 5 minutes, if you give them 5 minutes of your time, they'll start on a long spiel about how everything is wrong. They will depress you. But if you're around a Christian who says, I don't have the spirit of fear, I know what's going to happen to this country, but I'm not afraid because I have a kingdom coming. And I don't know what's going to happen to this world and how they're going to raise the gas prices so you can't even travel anymore. Listen, God has a vehicle already prepared to take me to heaven. So I'm not worried about it. I don't have that fear. You know, that kind of person lifts your spirits. That kind of person helps you to get your focus back so that God can use you and give you real joy. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you tonight for every person. Lord, we just praise you that you've allowed us another time. We can all be together, and we can thank you for your bounty that you give to us every day. Father, you provide a roof over our heads and clothing and food, and we're very aware of that abundance. But Lord, most of all, you promised us a house built in heaven for our soul and spirit. Where our soul and spirit can last forever and ever, and those bodies that you prepare for us are new houses for these souls and spirits. That this is going to be the most wonderful thing, because we're never going to get sick. We're never going to get old. And Lord, all this you thought of and you prepared. Lord, we're so thankful that even before the foundation of this world, you thought ahead to our needs and you prepared for them. Why should I pray tonight that if there is anyone here who has been under the oppression of fear, that it has affected their lives, their testimonies, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage their hearts right now to turn that over to you, and instead of seeing all the things to fear, to realize that whatever we have to face, you're going to be right there. Never leave us and forsake us. Father, I pray that you would bless each one here tonight. Send us back to our homes that we can witness for you on the job, in our neighborhood, for our relatives. Help us to be effective for you, we pray. In Jesus' name.